Hampus Lindholm playing at his 750th NHL game. They score! The Bruins convert on the power play. Pasternak makes it 3-1 Boston. Second Bruins goal on the power play after they came into this game 2-for-18. And now they make it 4-1. Hampus Lindholm will set up the third goal. Peach Georgiev. Two goals in 13 seconds. Puck sent down into the empty net. It is now 5-3 Bruins.
Bruins 5-3 winners last night in Colorado. That's right after they were called out by their head coach, Jim Montgomery.
They sure were.
You got a fight at Zadorov last night. You lose Marchand for a stretch. You hear the two goals in 13 seconds as the Bruins move to 3-2. They even get a win without Jeremy Swayman.
That's
in
right.
The net.
Your guy, Korpisalo.
That is my guy. I don't even know how many of those we're going to get this year. But there's one. Yep. So put that on the big board. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We got your phone call, 617-779-7937. And we're joined now by The Razor.
The Razor.
Andrew Raycroft of Nesson. What's going on, Razor?
Not much, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing good.
Little win last night.
Well, exactly. Well, it was a nice little win last night for the Bruins. I think my big takeaway is it felt like they responded to Montgomery calling him out the game prior. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, no question. No question. And it's four games in and you're getting called out. Like, it's stressful. The NHL, I know it's 82 games, but it really is more similar to an NFL season in that you can't have a bad start. And a good start goes a long way, and I thought they responded well, getting out on the road and battling.
You know, what was the first four games, even last night, you know, they did take some penalties, obviously, but in the first four games, it seemed like penalties all over the place. Do you put that more on the players, or is that can that go to the coaching staff?
No, that's on the players, but I you know, it's just kind of sloppy, right? The start of any regular season gets a little sloppy, I think. All teams have been playing that way, or the majority of them, at the start of this NHL season. So I think it's just about getting up to speed and recognizing kind of what the refs are calling, but also just getting your feet going. A lot of stick penalties, right? And that usually means feet aren't moving.
What do you thought of the new guys, Lindholm and Zadorov?
Well, they've started out great. Lindholm, you can see him, how smart he is. Yeah, and all the little things that he does, just watching him through five games, you know, when he's in Calgary and in Vancouver, just coming in once a year, you don't notice the details that he has. And the comparison to Bergeron Light is certainly there because he plays a huge 200-foot game. He reads the play so well. He seems to be in the right position. And the good news is he scored right away. You know, he's getting points right away. I think that's a huge bonus for him because he does everything else really well. And then Zadorov, what we've seen from him is, I think, what he is. He's a big guy. He makes plays at times. He makes mistakes at times. He takes penalties at times. He's an adventurer, but someone that the Bruins needed on the back end and a huge help.
This is a fan base that has always loved the fourth line, has always wanted the fourth line to be really good and productive and, you know, knows the fourth line. This seems to be with good reason, though, this year. Those guys, every night, seem to be one of the most consistent lines they throw out there.
Super exciting to see that. And you're right, it is such a blue-collar fan base. The fourth line is a pride of joy, I think, for Bruins Nation a lot of times. They love them being big and strong and physical and tough and getting in on the forecheck. And that's what this group, the three of them, have done since the start of training camp. You know, the first game of preseason, Mark Kastelic must have gotten 19 scrums in the first preseason game, and it hasn't ended. and it's translated into points for them early on, which is what a bonus, what a huge relief for those guys, because a lot of times you can be on a fourth line and not get opportunities, and it takes you 3 weeks to get on the board, and you start to get nervous and frustrated. But for them to get the success early, playing the way they are and continuing it now through five games is huge, not just for the team but for those guys. And you can see that their game's only going to grow now from that. So it's really important, and we know. Listen, the big thing is, right, we know how important that is in April and May, and that's the big one.
Talking to Andrew Raycroft of Nesson, joining us here on Jones and Keefe, our Bruins insider. Razor, last time we talked to you was before Jeremy Swayman had signed. He had been called out by Cam Neely. and the organization. I guess your thoughts on where they settled at 8.25, and are you surprised it came together as quickly as it did? Because, you know, I think last time we talked, we all thought there was going to be a little more hardball, and this was going to drag out longer than it did.
Yeah, well, again, I'm glad it's over, that's for sure. I know the players and the organization are glad it's over. I think we talked about leverage and we talked about, you know, pressure points. At the end of the day, money talks. When the team was going to lose cap space and when the player was going to lose money out of their wallet, the deal got done. So I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think that should be too surprising in hindsight. It did feel like the week before that it was at odds. But, again, money talks at the end of the day for everybody. And to get it done at the start of the regular season, to get it done at a number that, you know, is pretty close to what everyone was talking about all along, or at least the Bruins were, and Jeremy Swayman gets compensated very well over the next 8 years to play a game.
What do you think of his performance on the ice so far? Three starts right in a row. He had the one in the middle that looked really good, and then splits the other two, win over Montreal and the loss to Florida.
Yeah, so the first one was as expected. The game was kind of sloppy. The opportunities that Montreal had, it was a tough game. I think there were 6 shots in the first period and a couple of goals just banging off players' backside. So that was to be expected. I loved his second game. And then the third game kind of got a little wobbly as well, just in how it was played in front of him, a couple of power play goals. So, again, it's great to get him in 3 games. The other thing that was great, him playing 3 games, Korpisalo gets some work. You put him back in. He looks better in net already just after his first game. Gets a big win, like you guys just said, prior to me getting on here. That's a huge win for Korpisalo. You don't want to go 0-2. 1-1, you're like, okay, now I'm back to 500, and now I can run from that. So it'll be similar to Jeremy Swayman. He's going to have 6 days off with between starts. So, you know, he's getting work done while he's out on the road and should continue to look more comfortable as the games go on.
Do you have a number in mind for how many games he should start this year? Meaning Swayman, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. Well, we heard the 55, and I think ideally you get 52. If it's 52, 32 at the end of the season, you know the Bruins had a great season and were handily in the playoffs come March, and you're able to bank some rest for Jeremy Swayman, get the right opportunities for starts. Now, if it goes 60-22, then you're saying that would tell me that the Bruins are grinding in March to get in the playoffs, or are 3-4 points up, and they're trying to hold on to that, and they're playing the starter a little bit more. So typically, if you look at the end of the season, the best teams, the starters play a little bit less because they're kind of cruising into the playoffs at the end. It's the teams that are in 6th, 7th place that are the ones really leaning on their starting goalie at the end of the season. So if I had to pick a number that would be perfect, it would be that 50-52, which gives Korpisalo 30-32 starts, meaning he's playing well, getting wins, and Jeremy Swayman's getting wins and being rested for a good Bruins team.
If there's no back-to-backs, how many games in a row realistically can Swayman start? I mean, because on the one hand, I know you don't want to just completely like ice out Korpisalo, but we were trying to figure it out at the beginning of the year, and I didn't know if they're going to alternate at first just because Swayman was still getting his legs back, but he goes 3 in a row, then Korpisalo. Like, will there be a stretch where it's 4 or 5 games in a row, or is 3 kind of the cap?
No, I think there could be. I even dug into the schedule. Like, I kind of go month to month on my schedule just to, like, keep my sanity so I don't think about what's going on.
Yeah, there's no back-to-back, I think, until November 2nd and 3rd. So they go the rest of this month with no back-to-backs, and it's, like, 6 games.
Yeah. So for instance, like this week, for example, if the Bruins had a play, so they played Monday, they play Wednesday. If they had a played again, like a back, like they played tonight, or they played Friday and then Sunday. Like, I think you could see. Sorry, I'm talking a lot now. Now you could have 5-6 starts. Bad radio. I apologize. I really apologize. The reason why I think Korpisalo played last night, because if he hadn't have played, he's not playing for 15 days. So I think more a matter. It's not a matter of how many days Swayman plays in a row. It's more a matter of how much rest is in between. So if they have 8 games over 2 weeks, 4-4, then I could see a scenario where Korpisalo plays the second one of that, and then Swayman rattles five or six off in a row, and then Korpisalo plays the eighth one, but he only had 10 days off in rest.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more look at Korpisalo playing once every 10 days. That's the absolute max you don't want to freeze a guy out for.
Gotcha.
We'll clean all that up in post, Fraser.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
No, we'll polish that up. And you know, if anybody knows,
the editors for that.
Yeah. And if anybody knows bad radio, it's us too. It so does. Don't worry about it. When it comes to the Panthers, Fraser,
yeah,
they're obviously more talented than the Bruins. Is it just talent, or are they in their heads?
I don't think they're in their heads. I think they are talented. I think the style of play can give the Bruins trouble at times. And especially this week that just went past where the Bruins are trying too hard. I thought the Bruins tried too hard against both games against Florida. I think in that respect, they're trying to prove, they're trying to show, they're trying to be physical, they're trying to get their face, they're trying to make plays. Florida doesn't make plays. And they're really difficult to make plays against because they play fast. The puck goes down the goal line up to the points and it goes in on net right away. And there's a lot of chaos involved. And I think at times the Bruins over the last two games, especially on Monday, had opportunities to go low to high and put it on net or break out of the zone, just going up the wall, chip it out and go chase it, where they try to make a play to the middle. And then the forecheck of the Panthers gets going and they get behind or they take a penalty from that. So they're not in their heads by any means. The other thing is too, the way the NHL season is, so they don't even have to worry about the Florida Panthers again. They play once in January and once in March. Like, it's kind of over with until they see them possibly in April, where this has to come back up again. So it's more a stylistic situation, and I think the Bruins, as the season go on, will get more prepared because they understand that they have to go through Florida at some point in the playoffs, and that's where we go talk about fourth line and being direct.
Okay. Razor, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to Andrew Raycroft every Thursday at 11:30 here on Jones and Keefe. Best of luck at the Warren Prescott there today, and we'll talk next week.
Love it. Thank you. I got to warm up and keep my words down, obviously.
Okay. All right. Sounds good, Razor. Thank you.
You got it. Bye.
Thank you. Andrew Raycroft joining us here on Jones and Keefe.